welcome to Out With It All, the look back at Young'uns Podcast's episodes 1 to 100, which ran consecutively between August 2006 and 2008. We're purging them from the internet because there's a lot of nonsense in there. Well, not good nonsense, the bad nonsense, not the quality nonsense that we give you nowadays. But before we do that, we're taking some of the better bits, the more bearable bits, maybe even highlights, if you want to call them that, if you're feeling optimistic, and we're putting them all together in an Out With The Old podcast series. And we're on the fourth episode. I'm not sure how long we're going to go for until we've salvaged all the good bits, I suppose. And so coming up in our fourth part of the Out With The Old series, a festival organiser tries to change the young'un's identity, but the young'uns fight back. We have a Jesus-based quiz. Well, we have one question from a Jesus-based quiz, anyway. There's some poetry about dogs as our old dithery-dothery friend returns, Trevor Lister. Find out why Andrew Lloyd Webber owes a lot of his wealth to a Dutch clock manufacturer. Plus, we've got crap anecdotes. No change there. But not from us. From someone else this time. Nursery rhymes. Another fruitless attempt to get a jingle for the podcast. We play another terrible young'un's performance. And we talk about bad MCs. All that and more on our fourth Out With The Old Young'un's podcast. So in 2007, the young'uns produced a first album called To Hell With Pirate John. You're probably not aware of it because we only pressed about 100 copies and most of that went to our family and friends. And the reason we called the album To Hell With Pirate John was because the festival organiser and folk singer and songwriter Richard Granger, Teesside's Richard Granger, booked Mike and I to perform, because Sean was away busking in Ireland or Greece, in 2006, booked us to perform at Scarborough Seafest, which is a maritime festival. But he didn't book us as the young'uns. He booked us under the pseudonym Pirate John. We were a little bit flummoxed by this, because we thought, well, we'll call the young'uns, but never mind. But we weren't too bothered, because it wasn't the full compliment, it wasn't Mike and Sean, it was just the two of us. So the next year, we got booked for Scarborough Seafest again, but Sean was able to make it. But imagine our horror when we looked at the programme, and we couldn't see our name, the young'uns. We saw Pirate John, and by this point, we'd started doing gigs. We'd been booked to do gigs. We performed at a few folk clubs by this point, in 2007, so we were really starting to get known as the young'uns. And so we called Richard Granger up, had a little bit of a go at him for trying to change the young'un's identity. And eventually he capitulated, but he wasn't very happy about it, as you're going to hear in this... Oh, I've got a bone to pick with you, Richard. Oh, dear, you've won me.
Pirate John.
No!
Oh, Ronan.
No, it is about Pirate John, yes. We're not Pirate John, Richard. What are you doing to us?
What?
Is Pirate John meant to be us?
Well, it is, yeah.
Why?
Because...
I needed
a maritime name. I can't put the young'uns in.
You can?
I mean, nothing to anybody in the maritime world at all.
I mean, but it will do. The reason it doesn't mean anything is because you keep putting us down as Pirate John.
No, I know, but I'm sorry.
Well,
but you have to think of yourself as a... You have to get yourself a shanty group name.
This podcast, on a weekly basis, scorns the name Pirate John. We have laughed about it. We have ridiculed the name. And you've gone and called us it. Now, what are we going to do?
We were called Pirate John last year.
I know we were. It was very...
So I can change the humans, but it just won't look at all right in the programme.
Why don't you write... Hang on a second. I've got an idea. Why don't you write the young'uns, in brackets, all at sea? There you are.
It's too long,
is it?
It's too long. You're a folky. I can detect folkiness.
Well...
Coming down the telephone.
Well...
You've got to get into the fantasy. People are going to go to maritime festivals.
Oh, I'm into the fantasy, mate.
Fantasy of seafaring days, of the old briny and sailors making ships in bottles at the side. It's all fantasy.
I don't care about Brian and Ian.
They want a name that they can relate to. They want these fabulous names.
But maybe the young'uns is kind of like, look, we are the young people of the ships.
You won't listen to me, will you? You will not listen to me.
It's just a bit random, because obviously...
Even our Haddon and Levi have called themselves the gym lads.
The gym lads?
Yeah. They're all dressed up in costume and call themselves
the gym lads. Hang on a second, Mr. Richard Granger. You call yourself Richard Granger.
Well, that's who I am, but I mean, I've...
Of course it's who you are. But I fought for that name. That's what you're thinking, isn't it? I fought for that name. I think we should...
Okay, no, if you insist, I shall change... As I go through, I shall change your name back to the young'uns.
Well, I'm speaking...
You won't get you many gigs in the maritime world.
In the maritime world? Look, we are... We'll manage, don't you worry.
Oh. Oh, no, it's fine, but believe me, listen, Leon, listen to Uncle Richard when I'm talking. You want to, when you're doing maritime festivals, it's a good thing, believe me, for two reasons, right?
Okay, listen up, listeners.
Number one, it's good pseudonym, good, very good, very good medicine.
Medicine?
Having a sea song name, okay? For the shanty world, they like it more. Okay, because they can relate to sea song and shanty names. Also, you want to really separate your folk world character from your sea world character, if you can.
I know, but then we're going to have to...
The two worlds don't cross over very well and don't lend each other good reputations.
Oh, dear.
No, and I can say that from first-hand experience. Because, being involved in the maritime world hasn't done me any good at all in the folk world.
Why not, Richard? What's happened to you?
Well, I just...
Have people...
The way the folk world look at the shanty world is a different thing. It's just...
We need to break down those barriers.
Animals.
Animals, they are animals. Pure animals, Richard.
If after all of that you still insist, then I'll just call you the humans. Hello?
Hello, Sean.
Hello.
I'll tell you, where the fuck is Sean? He's at home. Right, okay, we've established that bit. Right. I've just had a phone call from Richard Granger. I've got very annoyed with him. Oh, that man. Well, you know, we know that there has been a name given by someone, Pirate John. We weren't sure whether it was us or whether it was another hapless outfit that had been called it. Sadly, it was us. I don't know what he's talking about, but he says, the young'uns works in the folk world, but it doesn't work in the maritime world.
All right, I hope you told him.
Well... He said to me, it doesn't work because people look at the young'uns and they think, well, that's rubbish. That's not nothing to do with maritime. Pirate John, on the other hand, you'll get more maritime gigs out of that. People will think it's brilliant. So as you heard on our first Out With The Old Young'uns podcast, we tried to get people to record jingles for us. And this could be anyone at all, from the telephone engineer coming to fix our telephone, to the men working on our roof, to people who attended our local folk club, the Stockton Folk Club at the Sun Inn. And when we got guests on the podcast, one of the things that we challenged them to do is to come up with a jingle for us. This is a perfect example of the kind of ramshackle jingle attempts that we got.
Challenge for you now. Think of a tune, any tune. I mean, you could even make tune up, but I imagine that'll be easy not to. Basically, we're trying to get the essence of I'm John, I'm Joy, we are dog watching, you're listening to the Young'uns podcast. Is there a way that you can perhaps sing that harmoniously?
Oh, gosh.
Right, here we go. So this is an exclusive. And it is. Any help, Sean, from the song? My name is John, my name is Joy. Obviously, that I've done you lower than John, haven't I? For some reason, which is silly. And you're listening to the Young'uns podcast. Now that's good.
How could anybody possibly improve on that?
We could do it to roll a home, couldn't we?
Right, okay, here we go. This is live. This is how we actually hear the cogs turning.
Are you ready?
Yes.
My name is John.
Her name is Joy. We are
dog watch folks. And here we are on the Young'uns podcast.
With Dave.
Singing all evening till they send us home.
If you'll pardon the profanity, I have called this particular clip OWO, as in out with old. Just named all the files like that so I can easily find them. Shit. And the reason for that is because the story concerns itself with shit, but also the anecdote is pretty shit as well. Now, it's strange when you go through all these clips because you think, should I play this bit, should I not play this bit? I just found this particular clip quite funny. It was a guest that we had on the podcast who was a regular, used to come to our folk club, the Pot House Folk Club. And this anecdote, incidentally, comes from the fact that we start having a little bit of a discussion about the largely political songwriter Tom Paxton and whether the song that he wrote, Daddy's Taking Us to the Zoo Tomorrow, was a political song or not? Does it have a political agenda? And then from that, we have Colin McKenzie's shit anecdote.
Currently, we're debating Tom Paxton's Daddy's Taking Us to the Zoo Tomorrow.
Is it a political song?
Yeah. Well, think about it this way.
Please, God, let it be.
Well, it must be because it's Daddy's Taking Me to the Zoo Tomorrow, right? He never actually gets to the zoo, does he? Does he ever get to the zoo? So it's almost like promised.
He does, because at the end it says we stayed all day. Yeah.
Ah, right.
Lambs take this to the zoo tomorrow. We do get there.
They do get
there. We do reach the utopia of the zoo.
The zoo, yeah.
We see everything.
But then Mum's taking me as well.
Yeah, you want to see more and more.
But then
consumer society.
But then is it saying about single parents? Because obviously Dad takes and then Mum takes him. Don't both take together, do they?
I'll tell you a strange story about going to the zoo. When I was a kid, and my father and mother took me to the zoo along with my two sisters. And we were just sitting there. We had been round the lions and all the rest of it. And my dad was just sitting there along with us, and we were having a sandwich. And then a bird shit on his shoulder.
It's a pitch, isn't it?
But he was a very proud man. He had to get up and dust himself off and clean all this up with his hanky and... I just find that music at the time. Because he was so straight laced and just something like that happened to him. It shouldn't.
The reason I wanted to play that clip, incidentally, was just because I love Sean, like, trying to laugh. You know, as he quite rightly says, is that it? Is that the end of the story? But he just keeps going on. Like, Colin's desperate to get more of a laugh, so he's... Yeah, but the thing is, don't you understand, he was a very proud man. As if that kind of adds another dimension to it. Maybe he should have said that at the start of the story. So the young'uns went to Holland, and you'll have heard, if you've heard the 101st Young'uns podcast, then you'll be aware of that. It's quite a long podcast. It documents our time at the Appingedam Maritime Festival. But the first time we went there was in 2007. And here is a clip taken from that podcast that we did from Holland, and it concerns itself with Andrew Lloyd Webber and Dutch clocks.
Right next to a bell tower. Must be the only clock tower to have a chime that chimes Andrew Lloyd Webber's Music of the Night. Now, I don't imagine for a second that there'll be many Andrew Lloyd Webber bell tolls at all. It's quite an interesting choice of song and artist. I'm just wondering whether Andrew Lloyd Webber gets royalties for this. You can imagine him sort of sitting in a pub with his mates, boasting, going, oh, well, I've done this musical, and he's like, oh, no, you've done really well for yourself, mate, you know. He says to Julian, his brother, I bet you can't guess though, Julian, where my biggest source of income comes from. Yeah, oh, presumably, mate, the Phantom of the Opera. That was a good one, Phantom of the Opera. Or that, the BBC television series now, for Joseph and things like that. Nah, well, you won't believe this, Julian, but in Holland, there's a clock tower, a carolling clock tower. It chimes one of my tunes. Remember Music of the Night? Well, once every hour, it chimes Music of the Night. And, every hour I get about 50 quid for it. In fact, I think we're coming up to the time now. Oh, that's why you go ka-ching every hour. That's the one, my friend. Thanks to those Dutch clocks.
So, you may have noticed, listening to these Young'uns podcasts, that there's not much Michael Hughes in there. But at the start of the Young'uns podcast series, there was a lot of Michael Hughes. Me and Michael, and then as we went further on, it was me, Sean and Michael presenting the podcast together. The reason there's not much Michael Hughes is because Michael got himself a job as a teacher in 2007. So while I was still bumming around just doing podcasts, Michael actually had a proper job. You know, so he couldn't come to mine and do the podcast during the daytime. So we did used to get him on the phone, and he would regale us with stories about him being a teacher and that kind of thing. And so here's 4 minutes of Michael Hughes talking a little bit about being a teacher. And we also have a little bit of a Jesus quiz thrown in here for good measure as well.
Yeah, I'm alright. You actually rang me in good time, actually, because I've finished one piece of work. And
so what have you been working on, then?
We do old school policy. I've currently written over 200 pages.
200? What?
Because what you've got to do is you've got to create... For this year, I've got to create 7 files of evidence.
As evidence of what? This podcast is evidence.
I mean,
I'm just playing on this.
It's just how stringent teaching has got now, where you've got to actually produce evidence for everything that you do. You've got to evaluate everything. You've got to have portfolios of lesson plans. You've got to have all sorts of stuff. The key to these good results is a good solid educational foundation, and they mean like the building blocks. So the building blocks for them are all kind of...
I would have, to be quite honest, Mike, I would have thought they'd got past the building block stage. We were doing that in primary school, but whatever, you know, Lego as well? You know, teaching with Lego.
It's taught in year 11 nowadays.
Oh, that's brilliant. And I mean, are we up to stickle brick yet?
Not quite there. That's
no, that's something. It might be A-level.
It's 33 pieces. There's 33 standards. Mm. And I've got to create at least 3 pieces of evidence for every standard.
I'm just thinking how interesting it would be if, you know, I do a podcast. I'm just wondering how it would influence my broadcasting if before and after there was a process of evaluation. And, you know, I don't know whether it would help much or if it would take some of the spontaneity off. I'm not sure about that. It might be interesting. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should write. So for every piece of podcast that I do, every podcast that I do, I should sort of evaluate it on 33 standards.
Do you want me to give you an example of this?
Okay, and I will work out how they can be possibly attributed to the Young Uns podcast, and we'll work it out on the last week's Young Uns podcast episode.
Have a creative and constructively critical approach towards innovation, being prepared to adapt their practice where benefits and improvements are identified.
Ah, right. Okay, I'm just trying to work out how I would attribute this.
That's quite easy, that'd be awesome.
Do you think?
Have a creative and constructive critical approach towards innovation. Well, once again, what you've done is that you've evaluated your podcast once again, and what you've done is you've been creative and added another feature. So your creative side was the fact that you said Trevor Lister passed, but I'm going to be creative, I'm going to bring it back, or I'm going to do...
And I also gave him a theme, didn't I?
You did?
I told him to say something about dogs. So there you are. So it's interesting, right? So there we are. Maybe I am a genius after all and just don't realise. Well, thank you very much. In conclusion, thank you, Michael.
I don't know what I told. Did I tell you the story about the Jesus questionnaire?
No, you didn't. What's all that about? I presume it was people, you asked people about Jesus and not Jesus took part in a questionnaire.
No, what happened is Jesus doesn't do the interview, Dave, believe me.
I don't think Jesus does questionnaires anymore.
For the new intake, what we do is we do a Jesus questionnaire. It's just like a 35 question quiz. So, yeah, this is what we do. So it's 35 questions about the life of Jesus, really.
Yep.
From his beginnings until his death, and we asked them to predict what age they think he died at, and there's obviously an answer, but I don't think they get taught at Key Stage 2, so you just have to kind of give a rough estimate.
Right.
How old was Jesus when he died?
I imagine he'd be in his 30s.
If you think about, like, the social...
Yeah, I think he'd be in his 30s, like 31.
Oh, very good, David Eagle, 33.
Oh, I nearly said 33 and then I took it down a few days. Yes. Oh.
The kids didn't really have much idea.
No.
Like, so we'll put like 40.
Seriously. Was there anything in the Bible about his big 4-0? No.
Exactly.
Trevor Lister. If you listened to Out With The Old, Episode 3, then you'll remember Trevor Lister from Trevor's Titters fame. Well, he returns this week, and what we started doing was we started giving Trevor themes. Something would come up in the podcast, and then we'd give him a little bit of a theme for next week. And we'd say, Trevor, you know, this has come up on the podcast that we've been talking about dogs. Next week, can you have a poem or a story or something or a joke about dogs? And he would go away and he would do them. In this particular clip, you're going to hear one of the weirdest poems. It's a Les Barker poem. I wouldn't say it's one of the... Les Barker. That's not the mere connection to dogs, the fact that it's Les Barker. There's more of a connection than that. This is a Les Barker poem about a dog. But I wouldn't say it's one of his finest. But I've found when people try and deliver Les Barker poems, even if the poem is only a mildly humorous poem, when Les reads it out, it can be transformed into something brilliant because of the way that he reads it out. When you've got an old dothery man reading it out, I tend to laugh for different reasons. The reason I'm laughing is because the poem, it just seems to drag and drag. I mean, the poem may be really good when Les does it, but it just seems to be the most tenuous. You kind of get the joke after the first 10 seconds. You get the joke, and then you think, right, well done, Les, move on now. Right, talk about something else. But I'm sure when Les delivers it, it's brilliant. I've not heard Les deliver this particular one. But when Trevor delivers it, I started to laugh just because it was just the most laboured delivery. And Trevor, presumably encouraged by my laughter, starts laughing himself, and then which makes him slow down even more. So here's Trevor with that poem, and also he seems to be in a little bit of a grouchy mood at the start.
Hello?
Hello, Trevor! It's David Eagle. Hello. Now.
I've forgotten all about you.
Oh, I should really briefly explain what happened yesterday. Because I rang you yesterday, didn't I, Trevor, to confirm if you were available, if you were in or whether you were out. And you said you weren't sure whether you were in or whether you were out. But, and I said, I might give you a call around about 6:30.
Come back
back from a long walk.
All right, well, I got a phone call from you after the Brother Crow interview around about 10 to 7, and you were saying to me, where are you? I haven't you rang? I didn't say I might ring. I haven't had the time to ring because Brother Crow have been in, etc., etc. I said, well, what have you been doing? You said, well, I've been sitting here for 3/4 of an hour. My tea's gone cold. Now, my question...
I hadn't gone cold. I hadn't had it.
You hadn't had it? Well, my question to you is, though, Trevor, you've got a cordless phone. So surely why didn't you just bring the cordless phone with you? And you could have eaten your tea and then waited for the phone to ring.
Right.
Is that too much to take in, Trevor? You've got a cordless phone, haven't you? You've got a phone that you walk around with. So all you had to do was...
I don't like being interrupted during a meal.
Right, okay. So we haven't interrupted you during a meal at this time, have we?
No.
Thank goodness for that. We don't want the wrath of Trevor Lister.
Right, go ahead.
Oh, okay, and go ahead. Dear, this is getting very... Are you meant to be somewhere? You haven't got another 10 podcasts to be on, have you, today? Have you got something to share with us today about dogs?
Not really, no.
No?
Taking the dog for a walk, of course.
You've been taken for a walk by the dog. What I meant was, Trevor, what I was saying is, Trevor, have you got any material for us on dogs today?
I have indeed, and I'm waiting to do it.
Okay. All right, then. Well, without further ado, Trevor, I wouldn't like to keep you any longer than necessary. It's time for Trevor Lister's Something About Dogs.
This is a Lewis Barker poem. I'd always wanted a dog, so one day I took in a stray. He didn't want to leave me, and so I called him Stay. I knew it was a mistake. The first time I told Stay to go, go Stay, and I pointed. Did Stay go? No. Go Stay, I said, and he started. He was going. Then he was not. He looked at me, sad and confused, and his two big eyes said, what? I threw him a stick. I said, fetch Stay. He started and stopped all in one. I never got round to come here, Stay. Stay couldn't come. He'd not gone. He wanted to please, but he couldn't. I spoke, but he just didn't know. So I got him a spaniel for company. I shouldn't have called it Go. I said, Stay Go, and Go stayed a second, and both Stay and Go were away. And I had to shout, come here, Stay and Go. They were coming and going all day. I said, Stay, Go and Stay. I tried. Go, Stay and Go.
Oh, God.
Nothing seemed to get through. It's not that they were both saying no. They were both saying, does he mean you? It's all very well in the park, but what if we stood at the curb? Two lost souls in the dark. But which bloody one is the verb? I've got them a new friend now. I found him, a poor starving wretch. I hope they'll be happy together.
Oh, no. He's gone and called him Fetch.
My mate Fetch.
Oh, Trevor Lister. And applause from the dog. A standing ovation from the dog. From Nicky. We might have more from Trevor Lister on a future Young'uns podcast, on a future Out With The Old special. I don't know how many more are there going to be of these until we get to podcast 100, I suppose, and we're currently at podcast 60. And on podcast 60, we had a great group called Ember. Absolutely fantastic group. It was quite a good podcast, actually. This is one I would quite happily salvage more or less the entirety of this podcast. I might keep that one on the Young'uns website, I don't know. But it was pretty good, and the music of Ember's music is absolutely brilliant. So check it out. I think they're on like iTunes and Spotify and all that kind of thing. So, but they've disbanded now, I believe. The main outfit of Ember, the touring part of Ember, were two girls who met in a youth hostel in their 20s. One of them was from Wales somewhere, and one of them was from Utah. And they started doing music together. So we got them in on the podcast, because the night before they did a local gig at the Travellers Rest Folk Club in Hartlepool. So we got them in and we had a little bit of banter with them, and here is a few minutes in the company of Ember. We discuss nursery rhymes and bad MCs, amongst other things. Storm by Ember. Anything else you want to say about it before we move on?
That's all right. I think it speaks for itself.
I think it does, doesn't it? Do you think so, Tom?
I think it has.
Yeah. It has spoken for itself, definitely. Yes. Ask a few more questions. Sean Cooney!
Should we talk about the tour?
Let's talk about the tour, yeah.
Currently on a bit of a tour.
Friday night, we shall hopefully be in our own separate bed.
All right, be home.
In Mach. Unless we find another folk club to go and...
and but you might like it so much, you might have thought, you know, I enjoy sharing the bed there, we could do it more.
A bit less on that theme. Yeah, exactly. Well, the kind of questioning is not beneficial.
What are the strange comments that you've had? Anecdotes from travelling around.
And I do remember that we were playing at the Miskin at Easter Festival down in South Wales. The MC, though, I can't remember his name, but we had this flyer at the time which has a picture of me gurning, basically, and Beck looking on indulgently in this doorway. And he spent his little introduction of us, who'd never been to that festival before, telling them how awful our promotional material was, didn't he? That wasn't a very nice...
It was just his humour.
Funny, though, was it?
Not
I haven't
really.
Told this story in the podcast, but we went to... Maurice Bateman performed at the... is it Bateman or is it Bateman? Bateman, isn't it? Cool. He did a gig at the Pot and Glass Eaglescliff. Or was it Eaglescliff, actually? It was Eaglescliff. I didn't get anything wrong. And his introduction was the following. I got a phone call, and it was from Maurice. I said, how are you doing, Maurice? All right. You've got to talk with me for about 15 minutes. And then he begged me for a gig. He said, is there any chance of doing a gig at the Pot and Glass Eaglescliff? And I said... yeah, all right, and Maurice, you can do a gig for me, we're not so busy. So, there you are, Maurice, you asked for it. You've got it. It is Maurice Bateman. And that was his thing, and then Maurice was like, all right, thanks. That's the worst introduction you can give someone.
Yeah. He didn't say too much nice about us, did he?
No, about us, he said, the last time they were on here, they were absolute crap. Let's hope they're better this time. It's the Youngins. Which is fair, we were rubbish the last time, so this is a new feature, isn't it? Brother Crow, we asked, who our guest last week, we asked them if they did any strange covers, and they played, they sang Ziggy Stardust by David Boy Cleaves.
We used to do a David Gray song, and we also used to do Port of Amsterdam by Jacques Brel.
Oh, right.
I think that would be the winner.
But our favourite cover to do is Red Clay Halo by Gillian Welch, because we get
that's one with loads of hand actions that we didn't explain to you.
Yeah, I can't explain. They were doing hand actions.
We did say jazz hands, and you should know what they are.
I don't know, they're like that.
No, they're not.
They're like little
sorry, wiggly, you couldn't see what I was doing.
Wiggly fingers out to the side.
Out to the side like wings. David is now doing jazz hands.
If you go to folkfolk.co.uk and you can click on a link which will probably say David Eagle doing jazz hands, you can see an exclusive moving picture. If you've got 56k sort of dial-up modem, you can just see a still frame. But if you've got broadband, you've got the privilege of seeing this live video footage.
And if you are looking at it, then let it be known you are an anorak.
Make sure you are watching with your three-dimensional glasses on, and you can see this in 3D. Look at this bit.
We're not really on webcam, are we?
No, we're not. Thank God. You can keep your clothes off, it's fine. Let's, let's have another... No, no, send me some other unusual comments that you've got then.
Well, I wanted to say, actually...
You can say.
When I can get a word in.
There's no rush. You've got plenty of time.
They ask us if we're sisters.
Yes, they always ask us, even though during the gig we've said, well, Emily's from Wales and Rebecca's from Salt Lake City in Utah, and they met in Barcelona. And then afterwards people go, so you're sisters? We went, well, no, we're not.
Say,
but you look exactly the same.
No, we just wear the same kind of scarf.
I'm like, what? My nose is that long. And she's like, you think I've got really
big teeth? Hang on, let's do a visual killer. How long in centimetres would you say your nose is?
My nose, let's see.
Should we get the ruler out?
4 maximum, 3.5. Bex is 5 centimetres.
Oh, damn, that should have been...
5!
Could have been an interactive feature, that. Guess they're not different, the nose size.
All this thinking. Nothing to do with their lives.
Now let's measure the gap between them. His front teeth.
Go on then.
6 inches. I reckon probably about
1.5 mil.
This is our new feature. Down in the mouth. There we are.
How much do you think I'm worth?
For what?
You know, as horses, you get...
As horses!
You analyse the teeth.
I don't know. Should we play the William Tell over to you? Gallop around the room and we'll have a look.
First they fill us up on tea and then they tell us to gallop.
Yeah, exactly. Gallop around the room! It's
these reins on.
In the nude.
Yeah, exactly. Put these reins on. Yes. I've got my own. I've got my own whip. I've brought my own whip.
Do you have any further questions?
Are you feeling a bit sore? You're quite. I won't say you. See, when you're a band, you do your actions and things, and you've all got that. We're doing a thing.
You're obsessed with these actions.
No, it's that wasn't every song, dude, was it?
No, there's a lot of things. You were saying that. You said to me, "Oh, you know, what you can't tell is that, you know, they're doing lots of actions here, and you've put a lot of energy."
But there was one.
So did they not put a lot of energy in the
record? You were kind of queuing a bit.
Oh, soil.
Yeah. I thought that was just.
Yeah.
You say actions, you think.
Oh yeah, it wasn't my. I'm a little. Oh, you did a prettier version of I'm a Little Teapot. Right, come on, you've got to do that for us now. I mean, that was a brilliant version. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Becky, this is a Hans, and Emily Williams singing I'm a Little Teapot.
I'm a little teapot. We never did this, you liar.
So what better be here is my spout. When I get all steamed, don't hear me shout. Tip me over and pour me out.
That's interesting. That's not the version that I know. No, because you said tip me over.
When I get all steamed up, hear me shout.
I don't think we do that. When the tea is ready, I think. When the tea is ready, hear me shout. Tip me up. You said over, you see, and pour me out.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it, how things change across the transatlantic.
I bet you do Ring Around the Rosie different from me, too.
Ring Around the Rosie? It's Ring Around the Roses.
How is Thorn?
A pocket full of posy.
A tissues.
Hang on, I said
tissue.
You said tissues, and she. You said
I said ashes. I said a tissue.
You say a tissue. I say a tissues. Let's call the whole thing off.
And now, do you know what that song is about?
Yeah, it's about the plague, the bubonic.
Yeah, it's about the plague. Yeah.
The bubonic plague.
We all know
some
it.
Kind of plague, isn't it?
Figure maybe the bubonic. If you want to interact with us here at any point, we're marston@ears.co.uk. And here's a few thoughts. What is your favourite plague? There's been quite a few.
Did you know that Mormons had a plague of locusts?
No, Mormons.
Yeah, soon after they arrived in what is now Salt Lake, they had planted all their crops. It was like the first year of crops, and all these locusts descended on them and started gobbling them all up. And then, out of nowhere, appeared these seagulls and swooped down and ate up all the locusts. And that's why today the seagull is the state bird.
Hollywood moment coming on. Right, what you do, it's a film, so you've got the Mormons doing that, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously the Mormons are the good guys, you know, with all the women and stuff, and, you know, it's kind of the whole masculine thing and all the lads.
Don't do polygamy anymore, I mean.
But then...
This is an old-fashioned thing for
this is an old-fashioned thing. Yeah. But then the locusts come down and they're eating the Mormons, and you're thinking, oh, no, this is terrible.
They're not eating the Mormons, they're eating the crops.
Eating the crops. eating the Mormons, right?
How big do you think the locusts is,
doing? They're eating the women.
There's a seagull
comes on.
But then, all of a sudden, the seagull comes on and starts eating the locusts. And you think, yes, it's saved, right? And then the credits come down, but then you're fooled.
The Mormons eat the seagull.
No, you're fooled, because the credits go off just at the last minute. The seagull's starting the Mormons! Before we leave, we're going to end with another cringeworthy performance from the Young'uns. And this is quite an old recording, this one. This is taken from 2004, I believe. And it was a version of Tangled Up in Blue that we put together. Bob Dylan's Tangled Up in Blue. Some people say that Bob Dylan can't sing. I love the way Bob Dylan delivers lines. But if people thought Bob Dylan can't sing, wait until you hear the end. I'm going to play a version of a live performance of Tangled Up in Blue that we did in 2004. But before that, we also did a recorded version. And the recorded version had kazoo in it. And it's me on the kazoo and doing a bit of keyboard, Michael on the keyboard, and then I started playing the kazoo. And we called the song Tangled Up in Kazoo. It was quite a surreal thing. But here we are. This is one of the first recordings of the Young'uns. And we're going to end with this, just a minute or so, from the end of Tangled Up in Blue or Tangled Up in Kazoo. We'll be back tomorrow for another Out With The Old podcast. Till then, from me, David Eagle, goodbye.
We are still on the road ahead for another joint. We always did feel the same. We just saw it from a different point of view. Tangled up in blue.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. I'd like to thank the crowd tonight. Bob Dylan, Tangled Up in Blue. Let's get some accompaniment on the kazoo.